and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tights and Vibes Podcast. Tights and Vibes.
Hi, I'm Baron Corbin, and this is the Tiny Tank Ball Blast. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Lubble-Leg Takedown, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Big Dan Vader, Danielle Radford.
That's my new favorite song, Hal.
Oh, thank you. I figured. And P-Kelk TV, Lindsay Kelk.
Hello. Hit of the summer, for sure.
Let's start with SmackDown. Danielle, we discussed it briefly in the opening song, but you want to talk about the greatest angle in wrestling right now?
I love Broke Boy Corbin so much, I can't even fucking handle it. It's so incredibly good. He got hit in the nuts with a tiny tank.
Mm-hmm. It was so good.
So if I remember exactly what happened, first he had to borrow money from someone.
Kevin Owens.
Then he got hit from Kevin Owens. Then he got hit in the nuts with a tiny tank. And then he got robbed of the money that Kevin Owens had just given him.
Yes.
All of which is happening backstage and somehow not in the NXT parking lot.
I can do a lot with this, man.
All right. Take it
Thank
easy,
you.
Man.
Thank you. Oh!
Credit to, for them to doing it in a one shot, right? Like, I mean, the timing.
Yeah, they got it in one.
The timing on that was beautiful. Oh, I made Jeff watch it like 7 times. We might not be married by next week, but after you texted with nothing but joy. Like, all I wanted was that in my life.
Boy, Baron Corbin apologizing to Kevin Owens. I mean, that whole, it's just great. And then Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode stealing what appears to be about $80 from him for Lord knows what, probably, skin products or whatever they spend money on. It's just great. It's
all not conditioner. That's what I know.
It's all very, very, very good. We're recording this on Friday, so who knows how this will ultimately shake out. But right now, it looks like Finn Balor is going to be a speed bump on the road to Cena versus Reigns. I don't know. Finn Balor, he is who he is. He was great in NXT. I feel like that's not what we're going to get ultimately in SmackDown, because there's not the problem when you come up to the main roster versus being who he was on NXT is he could be the top dog there because there's room. There always appears to be room in NXT. There very rarely appears to be room on either SmackDown or Raw. And I'm worried he's going to get gobbled up after he... There's no way he's the right person to take the title off of Reigns. Not even close.
Mm-hmm. No. I think the thing that's difficult for me on the Finn of it all is the way they position Finn, mm-hmm. and the way I also see Finn is Finn's a top guy. To WWE's credit, they've always positioned him as that. He came into NXT strong. He came into Raw strong, was the first Universal Champion. Obviously, the injury was a nightmare and it derailed him. But he's always been a strong top contender. Even when he loses strong. Like, he's never, ever been used to make someone else look better at the detriment to his character. And I think what they're doing here is they're like, we need a filler program, and this guy's always great no matter what we do, so let's just throw him in. Like, I'm pumped to see it. I think it will be an amazing match, but I don't think I want to see Finn get fed to Roman as a filler program, you know? That doesn't feel right to me. And I'm sure he'll get shafted out of his win, she says, hoping that's true, you know, because Roman's a cheater now, and that's cool. That's part of what Roman does, and we're into that now. So it's not like Finn has to lose clean, but I don't love it. I'd rather see him come back and do a super fucking strong US championship or IC championship than have him be main title filler.
See, and you said the sentence that always makes me nervous, which is we can put this guy in and heat him up at any time and he'll always make anything better. Because what happens is you wind up just being that guy and then you wind up being a permanent jobber who they know they can heat up at any time. It's happened to Rusev. It happened to Dolph Ziggler is permanently in that category. It's happening to Ember Moon. It's even happened to Sasha Banks. Yep. And so it's like that always makes me super nervous because I don't want him to be that guy where he's permanently like, well, we know that this person puts on banger matches, so we're going to feed him to people and he'll take the loss, but everyone loves him so much that we can still continue to use him in this way and get people's hopes up. Because eventually we start getting our hopes up and then they stop being on my TV.
That's the thing. They know he'll still sell t-shirts, you know? Ultimately, they're like, he's going to sell a bunch of t-shirts, so let's throw him in. I don't think there's a plan. I don't know if there's a plan, you guys. It feels very Cesaro to me, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, Danielle, in addition to Corbin getting nut-checked with a tank, you got to watch AEW on TV for the first time in a very long time.
I did. That happened.
You were there for Fight for the Fallen 28 live from Luxor or wherever the hell. What were your thoughts watching it on a television?
You know, this is going to be one of those ones where it's like, it only happened a couple days ago, but I've been so busy that I've like, most of it is like, pew, down the memory hole. Have I mentioned I have brain damage? Sometimes my memory is poor. Obviously, my favorite part of it was the Domino's thing. That was the best part of it. When a man goes after another man with a pizza cutter. I will say this, the seven songs of Jericho or the Herculean trials or whatever it is that they're doing,
The labors,
everyone says or has been saying that it feels like a send-off. And I was like, Jericho's going to die in the ring, you guys. Like, it's not going to be. But after watching it, it kind of feels like a send-off.
At least a send-off on tour, right? Like,
yeah.
Or to some sort of drying out clinic. I don't know. But maybe he just needs some time out. I mean, I know he needs some time out. Papa Jericho.
Yeah, like it definitely feels like there's a break coming. So that was really interesting. The pizza, Mama doesn't like a death match. Mama doesn't like a death match. Excuse me, it is not for me. It is for the people. Mm-hmm. It is for, I get it, MDK. I get it. It is not my thing. Like I said, it was my thing when I was younger, but as soon as the old bones started creaking and I started realizing that we're all going to die someday and I stopped feeling invulnerable, watching people get light tubes knocked over the head has stopped being as interesting to me, especially the older those people are. So yeah, that was like not necessarily my favorite thing. Tanahashi was great. FTR was scary. Very scary. I will leave my thoughts for the women's segment for, everyone's favorite Tights and Fights segment.
That's a good point. Thank you for the tee up, Danielle. It is the segment that iTunes has called a moral responsibility to happen week after week. Engadget says, oh, they're still doing that? Won't Hal stop? The answer, no. Lindsay, what happened in the AEW women's division this week?
News for you, Hal. There was one match. I just really want to get that out of the way first in case anyone was worried or just needed to know that information. There was one match. And it was a match between Julia Hart, who is a child. I'm so confused. She's an 18-year-old former cheerleader who has been paired with the Varsity Blondes for reasons, and I'm sure they're valid, and I'm sure she's going to be great, but she is a child. Also, I believe it's her actual name, but imagine going into wrestling with the last name Hart and being like, lol, even if it's your real name, right? I just feel like Natty has voodoo dolls. Natty's knocking on Alexa's door being like, you got any more of them dollies? Because she's out here running a Hart name. Even though it's a real name, it feels really weird to me. It feels really, especially in a group with Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah, I had questions. I was like, is she a Hart?
Right? Everyone's Googled it, right? Yeah, everyone's Googled it, which is so weird. Yeah. I don't know why I'm talking so much about her because blatantly she lost. So she wrestled Thunder Rosa, who is now officially All In at AEW, which again with the lols, because her record is what, 22-1 or 22-2 or something. Yeah. And she's like, but guess what? I go here now. And I'm like, you've been going here ages. But yay. I like Thunder Rosa.
It was also like not a long match.
No.
At all.
No.
But I guess one last thing I'll say about AEW is I thought it was hilarious how much CM Punk teasing they did, to the point where I kind of hope he doesn't show up, because I think it would be fucking hilarious. It would be so fucking funny if they did all of this teeing up for the Chicago show and all of these like, I'm the best in the world, like all of these different like nods. And
I mentioned that I don't drink.
Yeah. Like
anybody want a Pepsi? My favorite band is In Living Color.
Yeah. Like all of these tee ups that they did, if he doesn't show up in Chicago, even if he shows up later, if he doesn't show up in Chicago, they are going to get booed out of the building and it's going to be hilarious.
I can't work out who's trolling who. Like, are they trolling us? Is he trolling them? Is it going to be a double switch where they actually bring in Daniel Bryan on that event but make you think it's going to be Punk? I'm so confused, and not in a good way. Also, he's in his 40s and he hasn't wrestled for 7 years, and you're asking me to be like fucking beside myself pumped to see this? Like, do I want to see the 40-something-year-old man who hasn't wrestled in 7 years? Am I that desperate for it? I wasn't desperate enough to see it on Fox, SmackDown, Balking, Backing, Backstage, Blobbity Boop, because no one watched it and it got cancelled. So I don't know. I feel so conflicted about this.
Remember that time he did that really dramatic thing where he tried to do the Roddy Piper, like every time they think they have the answer to the question. And he like missed his light completely, so you couldn't see him.
That's my lasting memory.
That was my lasting memory of that.
You know, it's wrong to prejudge people. It's especially wrong to prejudge people based on appearance. It is difficult to not have certain assumptions jump to mind when you encounter someone who chants CM Punk in a non-CM Punk show. And it is the same reaction I have when I see somebody wearing too much stuff with the Joker on it.
I don't know. I feel very much Lady Gaga in the House of Gucci trailer here. Like, I don't know if I would call myself an ethical person, but I think I'm a fair person. I don't know if I want this. I don't know if I want to hang out with the fella who like went to court with his best friend over money and being an asshole, you know, especially when the best friend works there. Yeah. Like, the whole thing is so ugly and messy, and his whole deal is so ugly and messy to me. It's really hard for me to be excited about it. Really hard. And I say that as someone who was the biggest CM Punk fan.
Hard same.
I want to be excited. Kind of, maybe. I'll get a Pepsi.
Let's cleanse our palate quickly and talk about NXT as it prepares to make the jump to Sci-Fi, where the big Sharknados play. Samoa Joe officially cleared to wrestle again, tendering his resignation, and will take on Karrion Kross, presumably to relieve him of the NXT title so Karrion can make the full jump. The big moment of NXT was Dakota Kai turning on Raquel Gonzalez to become the next challenger to her title. I really enjoyed the build. It feels like kind of a mini build, like they could have built it more, I guess, but I'm excited.
Oh, me too. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting. As soon as they started that segment, as soon as Dakota started shouting at the ramp and being like, who's going to come out here? Who's going to be woman enough? I'm like, it's you! It's you, Dakota! Look in the mirror and there see yourself! It's you! And the whole time when Raquel was climbing on the ring post and holding up the title, I'm like, just pull the camera back and kick her in the face. And then she did! And it was my favorite wrestling moment, where they gave me the thing that I wanted, but they earned it. And it felt good, and I liked it, and I would love to see Dakota win. I would love to see Dakota win. I don't know if she's gonna. I would love to see it.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for that belt to come up off.
Yep.
Super ready. And I think Dakota Kai has been more than ready to get that belt on.
Oh, for so long.
Yeah.
I do have questions about Samoa Joe's legal paperwork, though, Danielle, while we have you here as an expert.
Yeah.
Because they were...
Those three single pages.
Right? They were single pages with seemingly fewer sentences than I've ever seen before on a contract slash deal memo. Yeah. And the brass balls of someone to tender your resignation on company letterhead. That felt like a real boss move to me.
Oh, yeah. Danielle, you worked as a paralegal. If you just write your name on a piece of paper, is that legally binding?
See, here's the thing. I guess you can't fit a, what is the word that I'm looking for? It's been so long since I've done this, but there, you're supposed to have a legal witness who is someone who is like, it is their job.
Notary public.
You're supposed to have a notary public notarize your signature. And I have yet to see a notary in any of those rings. I always thought it would be funny if like another wrestler came out one day and was like, oh yeah, I'm a notary. Like I've always thought that that would be hilarious.
Like I
pull
would
out a pouch.
I would pay money to watch a reality show in which Johnny Gargano goes and gets himself like authorized as a notary public. I'll watch that. Him and Candace should both just do it. Yeah, you just got to go and do a thing, right? You fill in a thing, you pay a thing, and then you get to do it. So, like, I want to see that. It just makes sense. It's just common sense. They're dealing with a lot of contracts.
So even if you have it on tape, you should be notarizing. But no, you can't just sign your name onto a piece of paper and suddenly I mean, it depends. Anything can be argued in court. Let's say this. You can't say no, because anything can be argued in court and then it's a waste of everyone's time. And sometimes that's the biggest point, is that you just want to waste everyone's time.
That's fair. Speaking of wasting everybody's time, let's talk about Raw. Just kidding. Just kidding. Keith Lee has wrestled and lost two matches since his return. Nikki Ash or Nikki A.S.H. Nikki Ash opened and closed the show as champion. The crowd is behind her, even though she lost to Charlotte. I don't know.
I mean, on a long enough timeline, every champion's going to lose to Charlotte.
Truly.
I'm just happy that she's still champion, you know?
Mm-hmm. I thought she did a really good job of her promo. I think she's doing exactly what they need her to do, which is get over with the kids. The kids were super into it. I thought her interactions with the crowd were excellent. I think she is doing a fantastic job of the job she went there to do, which is really all anyone can ask of anyone at WWE. I figured she might not win, but I didn't figure it to be such a beatdown. I was like, oh, I would have loved to have seen it be real close. It just felt a little bit too scrappy underdog towards the end, which is like, but I will beat you another time. And I'm like, oh, you just won the belt. You just won it. You know, it was like, I would have loved to have seen her win something before she had to lose to Charlotte. But I'm from England. So maybe I'm not an ethical person, but I do consider myself a fair person. So that was upsetting to me. And then the Keith Lee of the whole thing, fuck me. Let that man go. He looks like a puppy that really ought to be seeing a vet, you know, and not in a good way. It's awful. It's so, he comes to the ring looking broken. I know he said on Twitter he's going to tell his side of the story in a couple of weeks, but he's been saying that for such a long time that I'm like full Judge Judy gif at Keith Lee. Like, tick, tick, come on. Don't enjoy my friend Kevin in his little skirt. I do think it's funny that he doesn't get his full entrance. I do think that's funny. But I didn't like it. Didn't like most of Raw. Shockingly, didn't like most of Raw. Watched it all.
With Keith Lee, it feels like he's E.T. and we're slowly watching that planted flower die.
He it's does. He's withering. Turning gray. He looks sad.
It's all bad.
Like, get him some treats and a speaking spell. I mean, come on.
I'm happy for anyone for getting a paycheck. Like, cash those checks. I'm happy that he's getting paid. I'm happy when anyone gets a job. I'm glad that he got a job back. When you talk about getting a job back, this is a J-O-B jobby job, because he is doing the job every time he comes out. And it's like, remember when he used to pick up dudes and throw them at other dudes?
Yeah.
Remember when he was a gif machine? Remember when he was like the greatest thing on the internet? Remember when he's only been there 3 years? I don't understand. It's like a minute since he went up to the main roster and he was only on TV for like 6 months. And now he's back. After 6 months, 6 months on, 6 months off, two losses. What the fuck? Tell me the plan. Someone show me the plan. Someone tell me there is a plan. I don't get upset about WWE stuff well, okay, I don't get as upset about WWE stuff as often as I do other things because I expect madness, you know? And I'm like, I never have any clue what's going on, but I believe that there is a plan, even if that plan changes. I don't even see what there is here. Like with the Finn thing, I think they have a plan. I just might not agree with that plan. With this, please tell me there's a plan. I would just like to know he's happy. Maybe you could post some Instagram photos of him and his dog. He's got a great dog. So that might be nice.
Oh, just, him and his dog and his lady. I would love that.
Just post a picture of yourself with your dog and your lady and holding up today's newspaper, please. We just want to see and make sure
Blink
you're okay.
Twice if you need me to come and get you. I only have a Fiat 500. You might not fit in it, but I will do my best.
If you have any thoughts on all the things we've talked about, or if you want Lindsay to give you a ride in her Fiat, she is on Lyft. Find us on the social channels, in our show notes, and on Lyft. When we come back, we're going to talk about the biggest signings and brand switches in wrestling history. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
I don't do airport pickup.
I'm Judge John Hodgman.
And I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne.
10 years ago, I came on Jordan Jesse Go and judged my first dispute. Is chili a soup? It's a stew, obviously.
The judge has dispensed a decade of justice. He's the one person wise enough to answer the really important questions. Like, should you hire a mime to perform at your own funeral?
After they cry, I want them to laugh.
Do you really need a tank full of jellyfish in your den?
They smell like living creatures decaying.
Only if they are decaying.
Yeah, which they will be.
Real people, real justice, real comedy.
Winner of the Webby Award for Best Comedy Podcast.
The Judge John Hodgman Podcast, every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
This week's podcast is sponsored by Feels CBD.
CBD isn't about what you feel, it's about what you don't feel, like stress, anxiety, possibly pain. Obviously with CBD, we can all speak to our own personal experiences. It's different for everyone. I personally have been very skeptical of CBD. For people who don't know, I'm also in the beauty space and I have dealt with a lot of brands, a lot of products, but I gotta say, I am all about the feels. I have been taking it at night. I take the medium strength feels product. I take it at night. Really, really, really helps me doze off. It calms down my anxiety. I suffer with anxiety. I see a person for that and I take some stuff sometimes, but I would rather not take some stuff all the time, especially if I have an alternate option like Feels. I loves it.
I deal with back pain. Don't get hit by a bus. It's really painful. And so again, I can't attest to what anyone else's experience is, but for me, CBD helps with my back pain. It helps with my anxiety. I suffer with insomnia and the feels has been great. I've been using it. I've been falling asleep. My back has been feeling great. It's been really, really nice. Let's talk about Feels specifically and what their brand can do for you. Feels is a premium CBD that will help you keep your head clear and feel your best. It's hassle-free, delivered directly to your door. CBD naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. There's no hangover or addiction. And Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience so that you find your perfect dose. The Feels customer service team is dedicated to making sure you get the best use of your CBD.
Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/tights and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/tights to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/tights.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
This week we're going to give one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock.
WWE
Dynamite.
Live, Hal.
Sorry. I love it so much. It's my favorite part of every week. It's the most reliable moment in wrestling. That stays the most reliable moment in all of wrestling.
Can we add? I have one to add. Just pick a Scott Steiner.
It's anything.
Or he goes, everybody knows, wants to know. Something like that. Throw that in there. When there are multiple wrestling organizations on TV, that means wrestlers have options to keep working and have a mass audience. And now, between WWE and AEW, the surprise signings are happening faster than ever. But this is not a new thing in wrestling. Vince built WWF / WWWF by buying up all of these territorial wrestlers who would go, you know, Junkyard Dog would spend time in WWF, would spend time in Mid-South, would go down to Texas. He was an attraction everywhere he went. Then Vince starts signing guys to exclusive contracts, and that is how he helped to build a national audience by taking these guys who had been working the territories and making them single-brand guys. Even a guy like Hulk Hogan had previously been a champion in AWA up in Minnesota. So, you know, those guys worked the territories, and then Vince stole them all away and started buying up, coming in and directly competing and driving, you know, essentially killing the territories, except for the southern ones that banded together.
I mean, that's what you do, right? You collect all the best dollies for yourself and you play with your dollies in your dollhouse and you say, if you want to play with my dollies, you have to come to my house to watch my dollies. And now there's a new billionaire with extra pocket money who wants some dollies of his own. And we're going to see dollies switching hands.
Yeah, it's like collecting all the Infinity Stones and then you snap and half of the territories come out of existence.
I feel like what's different now, AEW is sort of, I don't want to say table scraps because I don't think the people who have signed are bad. I feel like that denounces, but it's sort of like WWE going, we don't have anything for you right now. We're going to have to let you go. And those people wait 90 days and then they sign over to AEW and AEW gets to draft off of their being on WWE rather than, it feels more like that than we know how great you are and we want to give you a chance in our system. Christian is the closest to that. I don't remember any promos he's cut in AEW where he's been like, I'm from this other place and I'm bitter, because he's not, there's nothing to be bitter about.
Well, he has previous too, right? I mean, he has previous switches, so it's not as though he can really come in and play that card so strongly, because he's done it before, and this is not new to him. He's done this and had it work successfully, so would I be weirded out to see Christian show back up in WWE in 5 years? Like, absolutely not. Like, I wouldn't find that strange at all. Rightly or wrongly, and I'm not saying this again, I'm not trying to say anything negative about the wrestlers that have gone to AEW, I would say the majority, if not all of them right now, however amazing you personally or I personally think that they are, I don't believe WWE has lost anyone yet where they consider it a loss. I mean, firstly, Vince will never admit to it, right? Like, he's never going to say, oh, we were fucking gutted when Daniel Bryan went over. Mm-hmm. Everyone that has gone or is speculated to be going soon is someone who either came to the end of their contract and WWE were like, okay, bye, or someone who was let go, or someone with whom they could not come to terms. Even Daniel Bryan, people are saying, oh, he chose AEW over WWE. He's been in contract negotiations with WWE for months. If he never had any intention of staying at WWE, he would never have even entered contract negotiations, right? He would have just said, let me run out my contract, and when my 90 days are up, I'll just go. We don't know which side it was, but obviously someone blinked, right? And Daniel Bryan was like, okay, I'm not going to get what I want. I'm going to leave. And Vince said, okay, then. So even Daniel Bryan, who I think is probably the person they most would have liked to have kept, I'm sure they would have liked to have kept Dean Ambrose if they could have made it work. They probably would have liked to have kept FTR if they could make it work. But I don't think anyone's gone where they've been pursued and hunted and wooed yet, which is the big thing, right? Like, there's not been a big Bret Hart wooing.
Yeah. And Vince is definitely a little callous about it, because they had that big investor call or whatever. And on the investor call, someone brought up AEW and he was basically, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me. I tried to look it up, but fuck it. You guys can look it up online.
everyone saw it.
Everyone's seen it. Yeah. So he basically said, like, well, hopefully we can help them get some more talent. And it's like, oh, maybe don't say that to the rest of the wrestlers who are in the back. Maybe not be a little cavalier about how many people you've had to let go. But
he said something about not considering them real competition compared to WCW. Yeah. because he's just feeding them talent or something. And I'm like, oh, it was funny to me. It's not funny. The whole thing is billionaires fighting with billionaires. It's like this, you know, it's like the Scarlett Johansson versus Disney. Like, there's no good guy in this fight. It's all over millions of dollars. You're all fighting over millions of dollars that the rest of us don't have because there was a pandemic. This kind of did make me chuckle. This, his response to that one did make me giggle a little bit. Because also, I do think when we say AEW is punching up at WWE, Tony Khan is actually like way richer than Vince, right? Like, he's a bazillionaire on daddy's bazillions of dollars. So I'm like, it's not really punching up. Like, yeah, it's punching sideways.
They have own a sports team money. Like, that's like...
own multiple sportses. It's nuts.
They didn't make their money and build their empire off of wrestling.
No, exactly. So yeah. I don't love when AEW do the lols.
Yeah, if Bill Gates starts a promotion, you could say he has more money than Vince McMahon. Yeah, but when did you run a wrestling promotion?
No, exactly. And that's why I don't think it's fair when people think it's funny when AEW take digs at WWE because they're the little guy. And I'm like, they've got so much money and the company isn't making any. And I know I bang on about this every week, but until I see those fucking books, I refuse to accept that AEW is anything other than a tax write-off for all of Tony Khan's other ventures. I refuse to accept it.
In the days of WCW, though, when there was an actual interpromotional battle, because WCW is sort of like the Rebel Alliance made up of all of these smaller promotions that had sort of banded together, and the NWA becomes WCW and sort of absorbs Mid-South Texas, like that sort of Southern wrestling tradition. The signings, starting with Lex Luger appearing on both Raw and Nitro in the same night.
What in the hell is he doing here? Get the kid off of here!
That's still crazy to me.
Yeah, like that was an insane moment that nobody ever thought would happen. And they had the benefit in those days of it being early enough in the time of the internet that there was still some level of kayfabe that was held up. So when you saw Scott Hall and Kevin Nash appearing on WCW for the first time, you didn't quite understand if it was an invasion or not.
This is where the big boys play, huh? Look at the adjective, play. We ain't here to play.
For me, when all of this was happening, obviously I was pretty young and watching WWE, and we didn't have WCW, or at least it wasn't readily available in the UK. So I wasn't watching it. So for me, when people would just leave, they were just gone. They were just gone forever. And it didn't mean anything to me when someone showed up from the other promotion. Because I didn't know anything about the other promotion. It would just be like, oh, there's a lot of fanfare about this fella. So now to go back and look at it with historical context, it's really interesting. And it makes more sense why people get all up in their feelings about people crossing over. Because people get so mad. People get so mad. Mm. So it's been really interesting to watch it happen. Really, for me, this is the first time I've seen it happen real time. So
It's
kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy.
And people do get, it's like that weird, because it does become that Coke or Pepsi, like that, you know, Domino's or Pizza Hut, Domino's. that'll never stop being funny. but it does become like that brand loyalty thing where the first person that jumps from AEW to WWE, I am so interested to see how that's going to look.
They will literally, all the AEW fans will burn their t-shirts in effigy if like one of those guys jumps ship. Yeah. I swear to God, it will be insane.
And it will happen. Like, it has to happen. It's just like the nature of the business. Yeah. Like, eventually someone will go. AEW is signing. You remember at the beginning when Cody said there were only like 8 guys on the whole WWE roster that he'd ever be interested in working with? They've been signing a lot of people. There's just, we talk about this a lot. I don't want to flog a dead horse, although horses, hangman, who can say? They sign a lot of people. People are getting shuffled. They're signing a lot of nostalgia spots. They're signing a lot of big names to do not necessarily long programs as far as we know, or putting them in weird mid-card spots. They're going to have to start letting some people go. And WWE's freed up a lot of roster room lately. Who knows?
And there's always NXT. There's always NXT.
And there's always Vince, who is just the most unpredictable wild card in all of this, what happens on the day when Vince wakes up and is like, what about this Jack Perry kid I've been hearing a lot about? What kind of blank checks he looking for? Because he's young. He's up and coming. We could put him in NXT and have him be champion and then bring him up. Or what about this Hangman kid? He's good looking. He's a good looking guy, like from the South and popular with the ladies. Let's bring him in. And Vince, Tony has a big checkbook, but Vince has WrestleMania.
Yep,
Vince can say, this is the thing. When he says he doesn't consider AEW competition, I think a lot of people got really angry because they think it's currently a better wrestling show. That may, subjectively or objectively, I don't know, that could be true, depending on the week. But what WWE has that AEW is decades off of achieving, and this is just fact, is a global brand. People know what WWE is. They might call it WWF still. They might say, oh, I watched that as a kid. They know who Vince McMahon is. They know what WrestleMania is. They have the licensing deals. They have the toy deals. They have notoriety.
AEW, Werner Herzog.
Right? They have Werner Herzog. They got Lily Singh sometimes. They got a bunch of stuff. AEW is so far off achieving that level of household name, global entertainment brand awareness. They might be the best wrestling show. They could be the best wrestling show in the world. And they're still time away from being a WWE.
And a lot of those kids are, sorry, just like really quickly, a lot of those people, their dream has always been, even if it's not just because of the brand awareness, these kids grow up watching WWE. For some of them, their dream has always been to go do that. And that's not going to go away just because they are working for a promotion that a lot of people consider to be their favorite. That's not going to, or that they have a lot of like really, really diehard fans. Your dream is always going to be your dream. And so for some of them, it's going to be worth jumping ship, even if they don't back up the Brinks truck, because it has always been my dream to wrestle in WWE, period.
Yeah. Or even specifically WrestleMania. I remember listening to a Kenny Omega interview when he was coming to the end of his New Japan run, and it was still unclear what he was going to do. It was pre-AEW. And they were saying, where do you think you'll go after New Japan? And he's like, well, let's be real. The kid in me has always wanted his WrestleMania moment. And he even said that. And I'm sure that changes because his situation is so different to anyone else's. He's part of the company. But for your Hangman Page, for your Jungle Boy, for those people, is this my whole career? Is it here? Is my whole career in Jacksonville with a fella in a Confederate flag in the front row? Or is it trying to get on WrestleMania?
And to speak to your other point, Lindsay, I think a guy like MJF is going to get snapped up at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
To speak to your point, you say AEW is behind WWE when it comes to creating a global brand. I'll go a step further and say I don't think AEW will ever get there because there's nothing they have on a global scale that is exclusive. Like renting out The Undertaker to Japan in the 90s was a huge deal because the only place that you can see The Undertaker is here. Where's the exclusivity on any person that they have under contract? Those people can come and go as they want. You can see Kenny Omega on Impact. You can see Dean Ambrose in Japan. You can see the Japanese stars who come over for a cup of coffee. There's nothing they have that is exclusive. And as a business model, there are definite advantages to that in that you are baking in all of those audiences. But the thing that will kill you, especially when it comes to licensing and merchandise and things like that, is you have zero exclusivity over those things. Mm-hmm. And your global audience, they're only coming to watch for a little while.
Or they're coming to watch a specific person.
Yeah, you're coming to watch a specific match.
And you've got to hope that they're going to stick around for the rest of it. But I just think, you know, that WWE awareness, it's generational. It's generational. Kids watch WWE with their parents. They watched it with their big brother. They now watch it with their kid. Like, you cannot buy that. You can't buy that emotional connection to something like a WWE. And Tony's trying really hard to buy it. And I don't fault him because the thing is that whenever I'm upset about AEW stuff or when I'm annoyed about AEW stuff, which is dumb because it always boils down to the same thing, that I feel like I got betrayed by the initial sell and I've got to get over it. What I have to remind myself is Tony Khan fucking loves wrestling. Yeah. And he's doing this because he fucking loves wrestling. And I don't know, if I had a bazillion dollars and a sports team background management, maybe I'd be like, fuck it, I'm going to start my own fucking promotion. This is going to be amazing.
Oh, there's no fucking way I'm not starting. Right?
Get your own dollies.
Let me win the lottery tomorrow and I get one of those big, like I'm the only one who wins $500 million. I don't care if it's in in one of those like VFWs in Reseda. Danielle Radford is starting a promotion.
Excellent.
It's I'm fucking there for happening.
DR Dub.
I want my own Stadium Stampede match. I'm going to get two horses. It's going to be fantastic. I do try and like remind myself of that he loves wrestling. And I think that's when it gets so messy because it's someone who loved wrestling trying to create an amazing wrestling show.
I love comic books. I love the MCU. That doesn't mean I should be directing the next Avengers movie. It's okay to be a fan if I'm super rich. I wouldn't. It would be terrible. I want to see somebody else make it, and I just want to go see it. I don't know who Tony Khan is as a person. I don't know him at all.
He wore a very billowy blouse this week. That's what I know.
TK?
Oh, yeah.
You made a really good point of WWE building generational fans. I've been watching their stuff for 38 years. It would take a lot to get me off of that.
Done to try to get you off of it, and we still keep coming back.
They are assembling a fan base that already exists without a lot of interest in bringing in new people. And I enjoy, like, the end of that 10-person match, the Omega and Paige stuff. I'm excited to watch them wrestle one another. I think it's going to be a really fun match. I like what Kenny Omega does.
Use Justin. You're going to have to wait for that. Because they're not having it happen when they said it was going to happen.
I like Hangman Adam Page. I like a lot of the individual people. I like these moments. But because I don't know what the brand, you know, it's so spread out. There's so much that I don't like in it that it's hard for me to watch it. And I'm sure there are a lot of people for whom WWE is the same. They might like people and hate how they're booked or hate all the matches or hate Vince McMahon. And that is 100% fine. I support that. But it also, from just as somebody who's interested in the corporate business side of it, I think AEW is, they will never be able to achieve the same heights. It doesn't matter who they hire away. It just doesn't matter. We asked you, the Nation of Conversation, your thoughts on people who have switched brands, some of the more well-known moments. One of our listeners, CJellio on Twitter, fondly remembers Kurt Angle's jump to TNA, where he immediately feuded with Samoa Joe over the world championship.
But can you believe it? Listen to this crowd! Absolutely going nuts! Oh, what a way to make a statement!
He's one of those guys who will always be a WWE guy, right? No matter where he goes.
Feels like it. But I also wouldn't be shocked to see him show up at AEW any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Impact, they rode that pony for a while. They had a lot of people who were best known as either WWE or ECW, like Bully Ray. Like, a lot of guys were given the top spot in that promotion who were better known for other things. They did build some great, I mean, Samoa Joe was a TNA guy that they were able to build a lot off of. Robert Roode, I mean, there definitely are guys there who were successful within the brand, but it didn't feel like it was built around them.
It's a legit business model. We don't just see it in wrestling. You see it in entertainment. You see it in TV. You see it in movies. You see it in actual business. You take the central person, or you take one person who's been big, and then you hang everything else around them, and you hope that that one central person will bring eyes and everyone else will stick around for the rest of it, because the other things you're doing are good. That's why AEW is getting the ratings it's getting, because people are like, oh, I love Aleister Black. I'm going to go see what he's doing over there. And they're sticking around to watch the rest of it, as far as we know. And that's awesome. It doesn't immediately give you what WWE already has, but will it grow into that? Potentially, but it will take a really long time, a really long time.
And everybody does it. I mean, WCW signs Bret Hart away. Bret Hart is a WWF guy. That is meant to show, like, they're coming over here. WWF is coming over here. WWF, WWF, WWF. Then you have WWE signing Shinsuke Nakamura right after he defends the IWGP title. So they're also trying to bring in an international
audience.
And
AJ Styles, too. Like, AJ was a huge one for that. It was a direct link. Because even the people who didn't know New Japan so well, they know AJ because, you know, he was pre-New Japan where his American career was. But we knew he'd been in New Japan. We knew he was head of Bullet Club. Bullet Club mm-hmm. was just coming into its own. He was a huge connection. I mean, they tried with Kenta and that kind of maybe had a tiny link, but not really. They brought Finn in and really played on Finn's connections to New Japan. They brought mm-hmm. Nakamura in and really played on it. But I think AJ was like their biggest look at what we're doing. We're moving with the times. Yeah. We know you love these Bullet Club kids, so we got one.
Yeah, that they were like running promos that were like, who is AJ Styles? Like before he was officially on there, which at the time was huge for them to acknowledge the rumors.
That Royal Rumble entrance, gimme.
The phenomenal one is here, AJ Styles.
Oh my God.
It has been rumored for weeks that the hottest free agent in sports entertainment was heading to WWE.
I popped so hard. Everyone popped so hard for that. But like, even though we knew it was coming because it was so important for them to be able to highlight that, like to Lindsay's point, that we get that this is what the kids are doing and that they wanted everyone else to be as psyched too, that they started running articles like, who is AJ Styles? What has he done? Without directly acknowledging the rumors, but
yeah,
still acknowledging
them. You start
planting
stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so even though it wasn't like, and this is on WWE.com, so even though like it wasn't a surprise, they were still trying to get everybody primed for it because they knew how exciting it was.
Yes. Yeah.
The thing is, once you've brought those people over and once you've got your tentpole attraction, the rest of your roster has to grow underneath them to meet them. Mm. Otherwise, once that person burns out, what is left for me? That's where AEW will thrive or fail. So the minute their business model seems to be to just keep hurling money at the shiniest thing. But is that to the detriment of like your Orange Cassidy, who was getting his big push and was being built, but now I'm like kind of sort of in a thing with multiple, you know, I'm like, what's, I don't want to talk about the Blade because I'll have to address the Blade's pants and it's really upsetting to me. He does look like he's just come from the Torture Gardens and it just makes me super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you've got that roster that you built in the very beginning and you were pushing them and now it's like, I'm actually going to need you to sit down and take a seat while we bring in this fella. And I think that's going to be a problem going forward.
Yeah, you got to start.
Yeah, the news just came out today that Adam Page is not going to be against Kenny Omega all out, which is the story that was being built towards, because they're going to put him in a match with someone that they think is going to be a bigger spotlight. And they haven't said who. There's so many rumors. Will it be Daniel Bryan? Will it be CM Punk? Will it be Christian? There's talk about even being potentially Christian. Because they got to sell pay-per-views. That's the other thing AEW has going against them. They're still selling $50 pay-per-views. And that's a business model that WWE said, it's not working. So we shall see.
Nobody's, Peacock's not making an offer. You know, Turner has no built-in streaming service. They're certainly not interested in making a deal. It's just, I mean, you talk about someone being lured to a new promotion by a star jumping ship. Listener N. Dot on Twitter said, I was aware of AEW and dipped in every so often, but when I heard Alistair, now Malakai Black, showed up on Dynamite, I was, no pun intended, all in. He's been my favorite performer for a while, and I'm glad he's still getting to show his talents to a wide audience. So it can happen, but there's no mention from N. Dot, and maybe they're willing to elaborate further on Twitter. Whether or not they've gotten into everything else about the show or if they're just watching for that one person. Either way, it's fine. There's no right or wrong. But here's one final question to wrap up this segment. Is there anyone you can think of in one promotion or the other that you would like to see switch for whatever reason? They're floundering. You think they would be a good fit? Like I would love, for example, I'd love to see Britt Baker in the NXT Women's Division because she is so good and she has no built division around her to really work with.
And I'm really worried that she keeps getting injured and I don't want her
of talented women, Nyla Rose, Thunder Rosa.
But could those women stop injuring Britt Baker? Could they stop hurting her? And that's a concern. That's a concern when your roster keeps injuring itself. They keep changing FTR. Their stupid names. FTR, the one of FTR that smelled nice when I met him.
Cash?
Is it? Sure. When he sliced his arm open this week because he got pushed off the ring post at the wrong moment. Ouch. Mm-hmm. Ouchies. No, thank you. Britt had her leg broken, had her arm broken. Is that because she doesn't have the experience that she's getting hurt in matches, or is it because her opponent doesn't have it, or is it because the women never get any fucking match time to practice? I don't know. Scares me so yeah. much. Please save Britt Baker. Defend her. Protect her. Bring her over.
Yeah. For me, it's definitely when I think of people I want to jump over, I want it to be women. Period, period, period. I want it to be women. I want them to stop having excuses. I think that like someone like a Sasha Banks, because she would be able to do that. Plus, like, I feel like she would want to be able to go to Japan and it would give her time to be able to do her all of her acting and all the other stuff that she's doing, maybe take some acting classes, do all of the stuff that she's doing. And it would shine a light on the division. She would not come over unless there was a guarantee that her matches would be longer. You would have to make them longer. You're not going to give her a 5-minute match. You're going to put her in for 20 minutes because she's Sasha fucking Banks. And so that is someone, I don't know necessarily if she's floundering, but she seems to be always kind of in and out with WWE. So she would be someone that I would want to see over, if for nothing else than just to have someone to shine a light on the women's division who would make it a stipulation and would make it so that it felt like, well, we can't neglect this division anymore because now we've got like this heat on it.
Yeah.
If you want to talk more about the major brand jumps from wrestling history, go to our social media accounts via the links in our show notes. When we come back, we've got three things from the world of wrestling that you should know about. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Are you feeling elevated levels of anxiety? Do you quake uncontrollably, even thinking about watching cable news? Do you have disturbing nightmares, only to realize it's 2 in the afternoon and you're up? If you've experienced one or more of these symptoms, you may have FNO, news overload. Fortunately, there's treatment. Hi, I'm Dave Holmes, host of Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters helps fight FNO. That's because Troubled Waters stimulates your joy zone. On Troubled Waters, two comedians will battle one another for pop culture supremacy. So join me, Dave Holmes, for 2 doses of Troubled Waters a month. The cure for your news overload. Available on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This week's show is also sponsored by Manscaped.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got them. Manscaped just launched their 4th generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, and we get to talk about it, which means we are officially a wrestling podcast. Now, I want you to imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. Because, guys, you know that the only thing more tense than defusing a bomb is trying to shave your balls. There's nothing... Let's be honest about it. You're taking a blade to the most sensitive of sacks. I just watched Julian in the window cover his mouth with horror because he knows how tough it can be. We've all gotten to that area. We want to keep it groomed down there. We want to try different hairstyles out. And it is a minefield.
Is this what y'all are doing in the bathroom?
Time.
Is this what y'all are doing in the bathroom for so long?
Listen, there's a lot of stuff going on in the bathroom. Trimming is a big part of it. And now with Manscaped, I have something that is actually made to shave the most sensitive of areas so that I can sweat a lot less. Grooming yourself should be a pleasurable experience and not a tense roller coaster of emotions. And thanks to Manscaped, that's what it is.
I've used it to trim my lady mustache. This upgraded trimmer includes a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention wireless charging? The new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer.
I almost wish I had some balls to shave. Honestly, this, you've sold me. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TIGHTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code TIGHTS. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
By the way, there's nothing better than going through airport security and
with shaved balls.
If you didn't have the travel lock on it, because it'll vibrate and it'll go, is this a vibrator? And you can say, close, manscaped.com. Use code TIGHTS.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
This week, we want to end the show by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is the Three Count. Danielle, what would you like to put over?
As I said earlier in the show, I am so into Broke Boy Corbin. It is so funny. It makes me laugh so much. He did a great backstage promo where he essentially laid out all of the reasons that he's broke, how you get broke. And it ended in the funniest thing I have seen on WWE in forever. And this is after he had already been hit in the nuts by a tiny tank. Baron is just killing it for me right now, and I think we got a clip of that, so we'll go ahead and play that.
I mean, I didn't have a can opener, so I just banged the can on the sidewalk until it opened, and then I had some, but I spilled it. Do you know how to get stains out of dress shirts? Because
I will actually personally help you do that. Baron, thanks for chatting with us. And
you're done. You're gonna bring up all this painful stuff, and then you're just gonna leave.
Well, yeah, we do have to get back to the studio, so I'm gonna toss it back to you guys.
I couldn't afford a can opener, so I just took this can of beans and banged it on the sidewalk until it opened and then spilled beans all over myself. It is the funniest fucking thing in the world. Plus, it also reminded me of that awesome Twitter thing, which is the, you know, this nigga eating beans. It also reminded me of that, which made me laugh. He's doing really good work. Finally, Vince was correct in that the ladies love, the ladies are loving Broke Boy Corbin, but not for the reasons that
we do love a broken man. We can save him, Danielle. We could save him.
Save that dress shirt. Yeah. So doing great work. Well done, Corbin. I am on team Broke Boy.
Lindsay.
Two things. First thing, I want to say thank you very, very much to Kerry, Two Monkeys on Twitter, who made our Karrion Kross Charlie Brown dreams come true. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Now, I hate to be greedy, but can anyone just like slightly tweak that and update it to look like Baron Corbin dragging his dress shirt behind him? I feel like it's not that much of a stretch because it's kind of the same body. But thank you so much. That was honestly amazing and it made all of our days. And the other thing I want to put over, because I really am working. I was just talking to Hal about this at the beginning of the show before we started recording. I'm really working on finding a way to enjoy AEW to minimize like the amount of self-hatred I have in my life. And something occurred to me while I was watching it this week. It's to the point Hal made last week, is it's actually made one show made up of many different shows. So if I just watch the parts that are an extension of Being the Elite, it turns out there's the Tony and Cody show and the Being the Elite show and never the Twain Shall Mix. So I really encourage you to just go watch that 10-man tag and have that be your AEW. That's all it needs to be. It is all Elite Wrestling. Just watch that part. And I loved it. Like, I loved 10-man tag so much, I can't even tell you. The Space Jam stuff, because ultimately it's all part of Warner, right? So AEW does exist in the Space Jam universe. They could have been in that match.
Watching that game, yeah.
Oh, it was so good. It genuinely made me really happy. And like, that's what they do when they're good. That's what Being the Elite can be when it's at its best. That's what I wanted from my AEW, was shenanigans and creativity and fun teamed with really good wrestling. And I thought Kenny did some really amazing work. That last part between him and Adam Page was so good, and it got me so excited for the match that they're now not gonna have. But I really, really enjoyed it, and I really did want to give them credit where credit's due. I loved it, and I kind of want one of those Elite Squad shirts, but I'm not putting money in pockets, so like, I'm not gonna do it.
Those Elite Squad shirts were dope.
So good. This is what they're capable of. This is what it can be. It made me really happy. They tried to ruin it with a fella in the Confederate flag shirt. They tried, but I'm not having it. I'm just gonna enjoy the wrestles that was for me. That was the part that was for me this week. So thank you.
LeBron is hooping on an asteroid. The Young Bucks chilling with the Herculoids. It's Space Jam.
It's not even in space, though, is it? Because I've watched it now.
Space. It's in cyberspace. That's
cyberspace.
Cyberspace. There's a whole bunch of worlds. Bugs Bunny's there. So is the girl. Lola is her name. She's a hooper. Space Jam. It's really super. I want to put over. Everybody can like whatever they want, and I want them all to be happy, but just recognize that the greatest character in wrestling right now is Roman Reigns, and he has been doing it for a year now. A year that we hope extends into the future indefinitely. John Cena comes back, gets the crowd pumped. It's nice to see the crowd go crazy for John Cena, even though the Delta variant will very likely put 70% of them in a hospital. Then Roman Reigns comes out for his response. And you just want to see, I just want to see Roman Reigns beat everybody forever, forevermore. I never want to see him lose. Here he is on the mic talking about John Cena.
It's the same thing over and over and over. It's like missionary position every single night.
Yeah, y'all knew what we were waiting for.
Roman's talking about fucking. He started taking his shirt off and now he's talking about fucking. It's like, what a heel turn.
It's, if you look too, like right before he's about to say it, he looks down. He's like, all right, I think he came up with that like on his own. I think he's got carte blanche on his promos now because he just looked down and was like, all right, I got something for his ass right now.
I'm going to do it. Not a dry seat in the house. I'm doing it.
Slip and slide, baby.
John Cena is the last big star that Vince made who was a crossover guy. John's just, he's too good. He's good at every single movie he's in. I'm so excited to see him in Suicide Squad. I think the world of him as a performer. But Roman Reigns is a fucking star. Vince, I hate to say this, Vince was right. All that time he spent shoving him down our throats, he forgot to put the spoonful of sugar, which we have now, but... Good lord.
Shirtless spoonful
good lord,
of sugar.
Was he right?
He's going to fuck your look. Wife and you're going to like it.
That dude has great promos. He's a fucking great character. Just wow.
So what you're telling me, Hal, is you're prepared to acknowledge him.
I'm acknowledging him.
God. Excellent. Noted.
I was ready to acknowledge John. Just play the whole fucking thing, Julian.
It's funny to me when they call John Cena John. I'm sorry. I don't know why whenever anyone refers to John Cena by exclusively his first name, it's just funny. It's really so funny.
It's not full acknowledgement. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk and Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin, who you can find on social media at Hal Lublin. I'm all over the place. I was recently on two really fun podcasts that are very different. One of them is Chris Mancini's What Are You Watching? The other is Laser Melina Weber's Fully Funded. Both are really fun podcasts, and I encourage you to go check out both. I was posting about them at Hal Lublin on Twitter. You can find me there. Danielle?
You can find me at Danielle Radford on Twitter, Danielle_Radford on Instagram. Yeah, you can go check out, if you're into tabletop, we just wrapped up the last bit of the show I did with Dimension 20, Misfits and Magic. I had such a fun time. So if that is something that you are into, go check that out. I know a couple of you have been into it and have been watching it. So if you love watching those kind of, like, if you like Critical Role, stuff like that, I think you'll be into it. It's really funny. I've still got the Agretzko Meet Her World number 3. That book is out. I think it's sold out in some places, but you should probably still be able to buy it. And I think eventually it's going to go into a graphic novel with the other stuff from that miniseries. So I will let y'all know when that happens. But yeah, go check that out.
Awesome. Lindsay?
I am also on social media all the time, really. Just bickering about reading comprehension at Lindsay Kelk on Twitter and Instagram mostly. And yeah, books. You can read them from your libraries or your bookshops all the time.
Our producer Julian Burrell will spend next week working on this deltoid variant. Oh my God. Just have that be the whole show. So good. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. And hey, if you're looking for some clothing, summer's here. Sun's out, guns out. Get your Tights and Fights t-shirt. That's available in our merch section. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.